This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. All right, everybody. This is the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson, and solo episode, another solo episode. You're thinking, man, Dan, you had a lot of solo episodes kind of coming down the pipe lately. Why is that? Well, number one, I felt like I have a little bit to say. Number two, this time of year, for some reason, around this spring break timeframe, a lot of people have been busy, right? And also probably lack of preparation and planning on my part, as you know, as life is a little hectic this time of year. But I wanted to come on today and I wanted to talk a little bit about this shed hunting adventure that I went on with my oldest boy and one of his best buddies, and just kind of kick that off and then talk about some other things that are non-hunting related that I've been thinking about lately. And that might be, I don't know, it might be relatable. It might not be. It's like man stuff, just like what it's like to be a man in today's world. So I think I might cover a little bit of that too. I don't know how long this episode is going to go, but I will say that I'm excited to share the story of this little shed hunt that I went on, because honestly, I have been looking forward to it for so long. And my son has, and then once I said we were going to stay in a hotel and then all this stuff, they were really looking forward to it. So this past Friday, was the last day of school before spring break. And I think the big kicker is that I pulled these boys out of school. And ever since I asked them if they wanted to do this thing, they were just jacked to go. And it was a little bit of a wake-up call about how something so simple can be so much fun, right? And I've been thinking a lot lately about what my kids need, right? And what, I don't know, like maybe my wife's idea of a good time differs from mine, obviously, rightfully so. But I'll tell you this, I took two boys out into the middle of nowhere. They got muddy, they got dirty, they found some shed antlers, and they had an absolute blast of a time. Took them out for a simple pizza, and we went back to a motel in a very small town, and we were able to just had an absolute blast. They had a blast, and I didn't need to ask them if they were having fun. I could see that they were having fun, and that made me happy because they were enjoying what I like to do, right? So this past Friday, I pulled them out of school. We got some snacks for the ride. Like I said, I have one of the farms that we go and hunt. It's like a 3.5-4 hour drive. And we only had to make one pee break along the way. And we got there at a time where we could check into the motel. We put our boots on, we got dressed. It was a little cold that day, so the boys had to put on their like snow pants or overalls and a heavier coat. And we walked out, we got out to the farm and we started walking. And the goal was, I didn't know how much daylight we were going to have when we got there. So I said, we're going to walk all of the real easy stuff first. And then day two, we're going to go into the timber, we're going to scrub the timber, and then we're going to move a couple tree stands. And so we walk out and we're walking, and right away we found one. And I think that one, and I saw this little tine sticking out in the grass from, I don't even know how long, how far away it was, maybe 70 yards away. And I put my binos on it. I said, that's a shed. And I go, boys, you see it? See that thing over there? And really what that shed right there did, and I'm thankful for that shed because it set the tone for the entire weekend. And the entire time it was full throttle. I mean, it was full throttle. These boys were like jogging through the CRP, through the woods, like looking. And it, and I didn't mean it to come out, as a competition, but it ultimately, because it's two boys, man, it became a competition of who could find the most, right? And it wasn't just sheds. It was every skull, every deadhead, every doe skull, every bone, every femur was, hey, does this count? Does this count? Hey, check this out. Does this count? You know, and they were keeping track like it's 5-4, it's 3-2, it's whatever the case is. And at one point, the neighbor boy was carrying so many bones that weren't shed antlers. I'm like, okay, if you want to keep these femurs and these rib cages, that's cool. And I will more than likely put them in the truck and you can take them home if you want. But typically we are not like, we don't keep dead, like we don't keep doe skulls and like rib bones from like 20 years ago that are still here. And he started to understand. My boy would understand. And then we just started walking. We started off walking the easy stuff. We started walking, buffer strips in the middle of fields. So within the first pass, we found 1, 2, 3. We found 3 sheds. We found 1 deadhead, and that dude, they were excited. And I think my favorite part is when my boys were like, "Hey, we missed a spot up here," and it's just like plowed field. They're like, "We haven't walked this plowed field yet." I'm like, and so me knowing from some kind of experience that there's probably not going to be a lot of shed antlers just lying in bare dirt. I wanted to keep them, but I also didn't want to really redirect them at all. I just wanted to let them go. And that was a lot of what was happening, but they were moving so fast where they would walk by. I would see a shed before they would. And, so if we were keeping track, it was like 7-7, honestly. I think my boy found 7 sheds. The other kid found 7 sheds in 2 days. Some were fresh, some were a year old, and, they found them in quotation marks, right? I think out of that entire, I found all of them except 2. My boy found 1 and the other kid found 1 by himself. And so I just kind of let them walk into it, or I would be like, okay, my gut tells me, and I'm looking right at it. My gut tells me if you walk this line or this trail right here, you're going to find one. And of course they'd walk right up on top of it and find it. And so it was fun, right? And so we walked all the easy stuff. We found, man, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I think 7 or 8 sheds on day 1, and a deadhead, a really good deadhead on day 1. And these boys they did not want to leave as it started to get dark. I was like, okay, well, the sun's behind the horizon now, boys. We should probably head back to the truck. Oh, we still got time. We still got time. I said, hey guys, we're coming back tomorrow and we're going to scrub this entire timber. We're going to walk the edge of this CRP again, and we'll see if we can't find, you know, some more. And so we went to this, we went back into town. We got undressed and then put on like some regular clothes. And then we went out for pizza at the small town pizza place. It's crazy because where I live, we ordered a large pizza, a regular cheese stick, and I had a side salad, and we each had drinks, and it cost $30. Now that same meal where I live in the towns that are around me, you're looking at probably $50 for something like that, which blows my mind. And so I'm like, dude, I'll come to small towns like this more often because it was fun. The boys enjoyed it. Then we went back to the hotel room, you know,
they, you know, they started watching some Treehouse show. I was doing a little work on my phone, and we just kind of all wound it down.
Summer is officially here. And you know what that means? Long late nights by the grill, weekends at the lake, and hitting the golf course with your buddies. And nothing elevates those perfect summer moments quite like a premium cigar. Whether you're pairing a rich Murado with a cold bourbon after a backyard barbecue or enjoying a smooth smoke on the porch at sunset, Thompson Cigar has you covered. They've been America's humidor since 1915, offering the absolute best selection and prices. Because they have one of the largest humidors in the country, your cigars are guaranteed fresh and delivered straight to your door. If you want to try something new, check out their unique 5-pack fever deals or their value clubs for unbeatable savings and expert curation. Use my code NFC at checkout for up to 20% off your orders of $75 or more. Or visit thompsoncigar.com/NFC and the discount will be automatically applied. Some exclusions may apply.
Just woke up naturally the next morning, no alarms or anything like that. We went, got some coffee, got some pizza, and we ended up going into the, timber, and we started all over again, right? And so this timber is real narrow, and so there's a high part of this timber, and then there's a creek that runs through it, and then that kind of, there's high ground and low ground. So we walked high ground first, found two sheds, walked low ground back, found two more sheds, and no, three more sheds. And so we pulled out an additional there. We walked around a pond. This was the coolest part of the trip. Dude, I was doing everything in my power to just hype up every scenario to make it seem like it was the best thing in these kids' lives. And we found this antler from a 4-year-old buck that I know of. I have several trail camera pictures of, and his antler was hanging in a bush. It looked like he was rubbing his antlers and it fell off in the bush. And so it was off the ground. And I don't know about you guys, but we call that a hanger wherever, you know, whenever we find one that's off the ground in a tree or, I mean, I've even found them in a fence. They've been hanging on fences. And so I just was like, guys, do you know how rare this is? Oh my God. Oh my God. There's a hanger. And my boy was just like, oh my God, this is amazing. Dad, is this rare? And it's crazy. The boys watch these YouTube videos of other people opening up football cards, and they talk about the rarity of these football cards, and they're marked one of one and things like that. So I was talking to the boys about, this is a one of one, guys. This antler is one of one. Nobody else is ever going to own this antler or touch this antler first, and things like that. And so they were jacked. They were just jacked about it. They did not want to leave, because I only got the hotel room for one night. We walked all of the property, and they're like, are there any other places we can go shed hunting? I mean, around here. And I probably could have called some guys who might have let me on their farm just to walk, you know, for the kids. But I had to get back. I had to get back for some wrestling things and church the next day. So we decided to pull the plug, but I know they had fun. But I didn't imagine how much fun I was having. And for some reason, my body and soul needed that shed hunt with those kids. And one thing that it made me kind of realize is that there is still hope for the outdoors for the next generation. Because there was no tablets, there was no electronic devices, there was no out there that entire day, there was not one screen for hours and hours and hours, and it was even a bit chilly, and they toughed it out, and they were moving and shaking, and they were happy in the outdoors. So in this crazy world of technology, we were able to enjoy the simplest thing, and that's walking around in the woods and fields and looking for deer antlers. And it was, dude, I had an absolute blast. And it gave me a little hope that the next generation is still gonna be like, there's still a chance that the next generation is gonna be able to do what we did and do it, God, I hope, for free, right? I didn't have to pay to be on this property. The only thing I had to pay for was gas to get there, a little food, a hotel room. I could have done the same thing a little closer if I had access closer. Could have went to my main farm that I've been hunting for a lot of years and stayed at my parents' house. But it was this is what we did, and this is how, this was fun, man. And so I hope that there's other kids out there right now who are enjoying the outdoors or have a mentor. Now, I'm not going to sit here and call myself a mentor per se. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. But what I provided an opportunity for these boys, and I know they enjoyed it. The funny thing is, so we found this deadhead, and this deadhead on day two was a beautiful. It's one of those deer that I passed him this year, an absolute beautiful 2 year or 3 year old, 140-ish, 145-ish, 3 year old. I passed him. Because of his genetics were so good for a three-year-old. I'm like, dude, this deer needs another year. And I ended up passing him, and then we found him. And I was a little heartbroken, but his head stunk so bad. Like, it reeked. And the neighbor boy found it, and he's like, can I take this home, please? Can I take it home? And I'm like, yeah, buddy, you can have it. I didn't text his mom or his dad, but he took it when we pulled up to there. He put it on the side of the house, and I'm just like, I should have texted him and just like, just to let you know, this deer head your son found. Luckily, the boy's grandpa lives close to town, and I think his grandpa is going to boil it up and clean it up, and then he'll probably be able to hang it in his room. I'll give him a bracket. I'll give him a bracket once it's cleaned up, and then he can hang that deadhead in his room. So that would be, he'll get a kick out of that. But it stunk so bad, and he was like, he was hugging it like a football, and so all that juice was getting all over him. And so he got into the car, and he stunk. The deadhead was in the back of the truck, and he stunk so bad. I was like, all right, buddy, you got to take your jacket off, and we got to find a way to not smell so bad. So it's the simple things. And that's a moment that I'm going to remember for a long time. And I'm just hoping that I can continue to do things like that. And I'm glad I got to do it before my knee surgery, to be honest with you. So it was, dude, I had an absolute blast. And when you boil all of it down, there wasn't very many talks of big bucks. There wasn't talks of this in-depth strategy. There wasn't any, like, no one really was saying, like, my antler's bigger than your antlers. Or, you know, like, there was no talk of crossbow versus bow or gun versus bow or anything like that, right? It was just the purest, most innocent form of enjoying, I guess you would call it hunting, the outdoors that you can possibly find. And the only thing they were really comparing was the number of sheds that they found. Like, every single shed was celebrated. Even the spike my son found, he found it on his own. He was jacked about it, and it was just like an 8-inch spike, or yeah, like an 8-inch spike, and he got jacked about it. And I think at the end of the day, man, that is what it's all about. And I think one thing that maybe us as a hunting community, we are influenced by the people. How do I put this? Sometimes we're influenced by others who have different opportunities than we do. For example, there's times where everybody wants a big buck, right? And so that's created this this environment where people are trying to hoard land. They may want all of this acreage for themselves. And is that wrong? No, it's not. You can do whatever you want with it. But at the same time, I feel like there's opportunities that are potentially missed there to bring someone else into the picture and share these opportunities, because I just feel like some of these opportunities are becoming more and more rare these days. And so I feel like some of us, probably even including myself, need to open up opportunities for other people. We need to focus less on ourselves and more on maybe our kids, or I don't know. Like, these are just some of the crazy things that I've been thinking about since this trip. The drive home, I was like, dude, I think the hashtag blessed is overused, but I really do feel thankful and blessed that I have the properties that I have access to. I have, I do share them with other people, but still, I have access to some decent ground, enough to bounce around and enough to be kind of selective in some of the deer that I hunt. And it's just, I'm just happy about it. So I'm really, just really thankful that I have all of this kind of going on for me. And I'm very thankful that I had the opportunity to share it with two kids who enjoyed it. It was two beautiful days in a row. And at the end of the day, I was pretty jacked. It was like a mission accomplished moment for that shed hunt. Now, before we get into the next part of this podcast, I just want to send a huge shout out to the partners of the Nine Finger Chronicles. I really do appreciate them. I'm hoping that we can continue to have a relationship and move forward. I'm stoked that I've kind of curated these partnerships and these relationships with some of these companies, and the people that are behind these companies are awesome, amazing people. And so I just want to say that part of it as well. But if you're looking for a broadhead for this next season, maybe the broadhead that you're using just isn't cutting it, or it's not working like you think a broadhead should work, I strongly suggest taking a look at Wasp Archery. Go to wasparchery.com. Check out all of their fixed blade and mechanical heads. Most of their heads are still manufactured in the United States, and to me, that's a big deal. So go check that out. I do have a discount code, NFC20, for 20% off. Next on the list is Vortex Optics. And with turkey season coming up very shortly, I mean, some of you are going to be starting here in March in a couple weeks, and I'm really looking forward to, depending on my knee, I'm hoping I'm able to get out and shoot a turkey or get something going on with my kids, whether I might have to be out in crutches, calling on crutches, or whatever the case is. But turkey season's right around the corner, and Vortex offers a full lineup of different red dots that you can put on your turkey gun. So go check out Vortex's full lineup of binos, rangefinders, rifle scopes, red dots, spotting scopes, all of that stuff. VortexOptics.com. Next on the list is Code Blue Sense. This past weekend, we freshened up a couple mock scrapes. And so my boy, he had the rack rub, and we went up to all of the scrapes that, mock scrapes that I had. He rubbed the rack rub on it. We kicked away the dirt, or the grass and the dirt that was kind of growing there, and kind of freshened all of it up in hopes that, deer would continue to use it and deer would continue to, visit that. And then later on this summer, when the deer are getting closer to that hard horn level in late August, I'm going to be pairing those with a trail camera. So go check out codebluesense.com. And I do have a discount code NFC20 for 20% off. Next on the list is Reveal Trail Cameras, one of the easiest to use with the highest, one of the easiest used to use cellular trail cameras. Literally, this is how easy it is. You open the flap of the trail camera. You scan the QR code. Of course, you need batteries in it, and it automatically syncs with the app. And within a matter of minutes, I timed it this summer, and I timed it at like 4 minutes. No, the first one was 4 minutes. The next couple were just like 2 minutes. So once you start getting on a roll, you can set up multiple trail cameras, and they instantly start working as soon as just minutes, right? So, check out the new Ultra, and also check out the new app that they have. Or not, it's not new, but there's been a lot of updates to the app, lots of functionality there. And then last but not least, I do want to say something about my own company, Full Sneak Gear. It was brought to my attention that when you went to go order something, that the shipping date would read like 2 months out. And I didn't notice that. And that's a oversight on my end. But someone reached out to me and is like, is it really taking 2 months to get a t-shirt from you? And I'm like, no, I get the order and the next day I ship it. And he's like, just to let you know, some people might be turned away from that. So I fixed that problem. And now it's based off of the average amount. So it's only like 3 days or 4 days for me to get something out to you guys. So just so you know, Full Sneak Gear, we're open for business, and it does not take 2 months to get a t-shirt. I get the order in, and usually the next day I ship it out, the next day or the day after I ship it out. So fullsneakgear.com. Outside of that, I appreciate all of you. As more housekeeping stuff real quick, if you guys could do me a favor and go to Spotify or iTunes or wherever you download the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast or any of the podcasts that I listen to or that I host for that matter, just go give it a 5-star review, man. I would really appreciate that. And that lets other people who maybe don't listen to me know about what's kind of going on with my podcast. So I appreciate that. So I've started to talk a little bit about this before, and this isn't hunting, but I'll tell you what, man, I've gotten a lot of messages from you guys lately about how you guys appreciate, especially this time of year, like the non-hunting content, some of it that's relatable. I know it's hard to take serious because the last episode that I put out was all about pooping. And it is not serious. It's not serious at all. And I don't want to be like, I don't want to sound like I'm complaining, because in retrospect, if I was to compare my life to somebody in another part of the world living on a dirt floor, my life is really good. I have running water. I have electricity. I have air conditioning. I have heat. I have grocery stores. I have food. I have gas. We have a vehicle, right? I'm able to spend money on fun things like driving somewhere and going shed hunting and spending a night in a hotel, right? Other people do not get to do that, right? I've set my life up in a way where I have a ton of flexibility in my schedule. And if I need to work till 11 o'clock at night to get the job done because I decided I wanted to spend time with my kids throughout the day, then I'm going to do that, right? That's kind of how I set my life up, and I enjoy that portion of it. But I couldn't help feeling this week, and this is where it gets kind of, I don't know if it's maybe a therapy session or maybe it's just me venting. I don't know. But I feel like I'm 45 years old. And I don't want this to sound like poor me, because that's not the goal. I'm just trying to think, like, I was thinking that, you know, I can't be the only guy who's thinking this. I can't be the only guy who thinks that that I'm not good enough for my family. And I think there's a lot of outside. Like, I feel like I'm a good dad. I feel like it. I don't know. No one's ever, like, my mom a couple times has said it. My wife has said it a couple times, like, you're a really good hands-on dad. And I'll be completely honest, man, that feels good. And I think a lot of times people don't compliment men or tell them that they're good at something, maybe because there's jealousy, or maybe because there is, it's like a man should not compliment another man about how they're living their life. I don't know. And I look at it the opposite way. I feel like if you see one of your bros and he's a good dad, or you see a coach who volunteers for everything, dude, go tell that person that they are a good person. Dude, thank you for coaching my kid. Dude, you're a great coach. I think, thank you for volunteering your time, that kind of stuff. And I think there's a lot of times in this world where, and I'm just speaking from my own perspective, it's where there's a lot of pressure put on a man to make a man, to make the rest of the people in the household happy, when at the same time, there's not that same energy coming back to making the man happy. And I feel like there's, and you know, women could probably say the same thing. I'm just kind of talking, you know, this middle age time frame where schedules are completely busy. There's a lot that's happening in life right now, but there's parts of me that feel like it's an expectation for the man to work harder at all aspects, right? And that, to be honest, man, I wish there was a little bit more energy coming back to me and like just being appreciated. And there's times where in this world, I don't feel appreciated. And I don't know if this is like, Jesus, Dan Johnson's a pussy for sharing his emotions. But I can guarantee you at some point throughout your marriage or your life, you've felt like this as well. And I don't know why I'm sharing this, but what I'm getting at is, and that's one of the things that was causing me to look for something or to change my point of view on certain things. And you know, like I have my own thoughts about crossbows, right? For rules and regulations and things like that. But I can't hate on a guy. I shouldn't be hating on a guy, for wanting to shoot a crossbow. Right. And I guess part of the reason why a lot of this is coming up, and I'm almost positive you guys can feel this, especially if you're married with kids. My wife has friends, and those friends are on spring break right now. They're somewhere spring break. And I don't know if there's a little bit of keeping up with the Joneses that we're feeling right now, but it's almost like, I don't know. There's times where, and I know I'm not the only one, because I've had conversations with some of you guys before, some of my buddies, where it's just like, is this life not good enough for you? And not just necessarily maybe the wife or the kids, is just like, being able to compare what you have, right? Like some of these people are maxing out credit cards every single year to go on a trip. I'm not going to do that, right? Some of these people make millions of dollars, $1 million a year. I can't compare to that, right? I'm not making $1 million a year, and I can't do what these other families are doing. Right. And I think there's a lot of times where that pressure gets put on the man, and it's, to be honest, it's not fair and or necessary. It's not realistic. But that's what happens when you're dealing with emotions versus logic. And I'm sure that's something that your dad told you and my dad told me, was just like trying to bring logic to an emotional war is, it doesn't, it's like I'm rubber and you're glue. It does not matter at certain times, especially when there's high emotions. And I think that's also in the hunting space, in the hunting community as well, where someone is so passionate about something and another person may bring up a logical or maybe even a reasonable response to whatever problem or issue there is. And it pisses a lot of people off because they've been set in their ways for so long that it's impossible to get that out. And the thing that I'm seeing right now, and I've noticed this on social media quite a bit, is like, for some reason, Michigan keeps popping up. The state of Michigan keeps popping up. And there is a lot of talk right now for seriously changing some of the rules and regulations in the state of Michigan. And some of the things that I've heard is making it a one buck state, moving their muzzleloader season, moving the rifle season out like 1 week past or 1 week further away from the rut. And I think I just said this, making it a one buck state. For the people in here who are completely happy with how the state is managed and being able to do their deer camps and shoot whatever they want, and tag allocations and things like that, that's gonna piss a lot of people off. Even the conversation about baiting, from what I've heard and some of the people that I've talked to, is for every person that does not want bait in the state of Michigan, there's probably another guy who does want bait, wants to continue to bait in that state. And so that's where I think there's been a lot of people showing up to these Department of Natural Resource meetings and having uncomfortable conversations. And I think that's where you're only seeing a handful of comments, and these very small comments on social media number one, they tend to, and number two, they're designed to spark conflict. I mean, you look at some of the guys, I mean, I'm probably guilty of it in the past, where you'll see a comment or a reel on social media and there's no context other than it is meant to just be shock and awe. We want the most likes and clicks on this. We know that when we post this, we're going to get a ton of traffic. And all it's really doing is separating two sides. There's no communication about how any of that can get better. But it's just, I don't know how I went from, like talking about my emotions as a man to the rules and regulations of the state of Michigan. I don't know how I did it, but I don't know. I just feel like there's times, I'm not going back, but I just feel like there's times where men are carrying a lot of weight. And I truly believe that men are designed and are better at doing that than, let's just say, women, your partners are. I think that we're designed to carry heavier loads, not only physically, but mentally as well. And there's times where that can even get a little bit too much. Now, one thing that has helped me over the course of the last eight months, and maybe this isn't the outlet for you, but I've talked about this, I started doing a Bible study, and usually I talk about it at the end because I don't want to really, I really don't want this podcast to be about my religious journey, but I do want this podcast to continue to be about the outdoors, but also be about like just like happiness and positive energy and things like that. So I started this Bible study in October of last year. And I used to carry around a lot of like stress and weight of being unsure, and worrying and things like that about what other people thought of me and what I was going to be doing. And I've kind of shed that over the last handful of years, I think, because I honestly don't give a shit about what people think about me anymore. I don't have time or energy for it. I don't give a shit anymore. And because the only thing I'm really trying to do in this world is be a better husband and a better father. Really, that's it. And then everything else, I feel like if I have that foundation, that everything else, it will become better. But when I was going through this really weird part in my life, I was just, I think what it was is like me searching for something. I was looking for something different. I was looking for a new way to live. I don't know exactly what it was, but something was pulling me like, dude, you gotta stop drinking. Dude, you gotta stop caring what other people think. You need to put your brain in a place where it can relax, where it can disconnect, where it can be more positive in a way, I guess you would say, a walk away from whatever it is. Like, I can't right now really because my knee's so jacked up and I got a jacked up shoulder, but after this knee surgery is over, I'm going to get back into being way more active because it's going to be a necessity. My diet is off right now. But from, I don't know, maybe it's emotional, maybe it's spiritual, but this Bible study that I've been going to honestly has really helped me just kind of start reading the Bible again. And I did it when I was a kid, but when you read the Bible as a 16 and 17 year old, you have no way of knowing how to apply it to the real world, right? Your brain just is not there yet. You haven't been through struggle yet. You haven't been through like a girl leaving you who you thought you were going to marry. You haven't been through, maybe you have. Maybe you've been through massive amounts of trauma and hardship when you were a kid, but, and I did too. And really what I did was I just swallowed that shit down into the pits of my inner being and just waited for it to kind of dissolve. But I was looking for some kind of outlet more than just going out into the woods and hunting, because you can only do that so often. And I found myself in a position where I needed more of it, but I needed more of it, but I wasn't getting it because of the busy schedule. And that's, you know, I'm shooting myself in the foot, right? I'm in control of my schedule. I should probably be doing more of that, but I felt like I had obligations to the kids and the family and the business and all of these things in order to, make other people happy. And I just kind of was needing something for myself. So again, the Bible study. And what I kind of found in this, and just for a moment, I'm going to leave the conversation of God out of it. But what I've found walking away from these weekly sessions that I've been having, these weekly Bible studies, is a clearer, calmer head, a little bit more peace of mind, a more positive energy, giving people the benefit of the doubt, understanding that others are extremely stressed, not knowing that I shouldn't worry as much, how to treat other people, really, how you should treat other people when you yourself are not being treated correctly. And I think there's a lot of that in the world where when a person gets shit on, all they want to do is go shit on somebody else. So, you know, I've been saying good vibes to end out the podcast for a long time now. And instead of just like I'm trying to live like this good vibes, positive energy, what would Jesus do type of mindset now in my life. And I honestly think some of the aspects of my life are getting better because of it. I think I'm carrying around less weight, whether that's stress or emotional baggage or things like that. Recently, my kids have started coming to church with me. My wife has been to 2 church services so far. And I'll be completely honest, dude, I'm excited about that. And I just, as an overall person, I feel better when I do that. And I know that baseball season's coming up and I'm going to miss a lot of church. But I still have the tools now to go out, maybe read a little bit of the Bible, read about what Jesus has said and things like that. And it just like take away the religious aspect of it. Right. And I know reading the Bible is a religious thing, a religion, but even just taking the word religion out of it, I just feel better after I do it. And what I'm getting at, and I don't want this podcast to turn into a, you need to convert. You don't need to, if you don't want to, right? But if you're in a spot in your life where you don't know what to do, and I'm not talking about just like my family's falling apart and I'm in financial debt and my I have cancer or this or that or this or, you know, whatever, you know, it doesn't have to be worst case scenario. It could be your life is pretty damn good, but you're just looking for that one more thing to make it even better. Man, I feel like picking up a Bible is a really good start. And you don't have to go overboard and go to a Bible study and find a Bible study and do all this. That's what worked for me. And I feel really good about it. I feel really good about it. The other thing is I've been slacking on my activity level lately, and a lot of it is because of my knee and because of my schedule. And I've been making excuses of why certain things are not getting done, especially like my physical fitness. For a while there, I was on point with my weightlifting and my working out. I was like, I look back and it was only like 2 years ago. It was about 2 years ago now, 18 months maybe, where dude, I was benching 405, almost 405. I was almost benching 405. I was deadlifting 460, almost. My goal was 500. I didn't quite make it. And my knee and my shoulder started really bothering me. And I started slacking. And I kind of have gone through this mindset physically as I age if I can't bench press 300 pounds or squat 300 pounds, well, there's no, I don't even need to go to the gym anymore. It's just pointless. But as I'm all this stuff is going in my head, dude, you're not talking about peak performance anymore. I'm talking about like, what do I need to do to live as long as possible? My diet is off right now. My activity level is off right now. And I need to get into a new routine as soon as possible. As soon as this knee surgery is over next week, I need to get on a new routine and I need to start getting back at it and living a healthier life from all aspects. This May marks 1 year for me and my wife of no alcohol. And I want to tell a little story real quick. For a while there, there was no THC. Like I never did THC. Like I every once in a while, maybe I would do a gummy or something like that. But there was like 6 months there where I didn't do anything like that. And a couple nights ago, I went out to dinner because it's spring break. I went out to dinner with my wife and they had these THC drinks. And the THC drinks were delicious. They made me feel good. You know, they gave me some kind of buzz. And, you know, I was sitting in the house and just kind of watching TV, a little high, to be honest with you. And the next morning, I woke up and I was in a little bit of a fog. So I had my coffee and I still carried around that little fog with me for most of the day. And I was talking to myself. I'm like, what the hell is the difference between a hangover of what I did? Again, I'm trying to justify like, okay, I don't do alcohol anymore. Alcohol's so bad for you. But I was using another foreign substance to try to make myself feel good or relax a little bit more. And I did. I relaxed that night. And maybe I did too much. I don't know what the deal is. But the next day I was tired. I was probably a little bit of high or THC still left in my blood. And I was kind of talking to myself about like, man, I don't know if this is going to work either. Right. The best that I feel is when I eat healthy, when I'm exercising, and when I'm getting good sleep. And water plays a role in that too. But if I'm hydrated, if I'm eating healthy, if I'm sleeping well, if I'm exercising, dude, that's all I needed. That's all I need. That's all we need probably. And so I put that foreign substance in my body. I put that THC in my body and it felt good. Trust me. It felt good. I laughed at a Netflix show with my wife. My wife didn't have any of that, but I laughed my ass off at this show. I made a peanut butter and I got the munchies and made a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I went to bed. I had these crazy ass awesome dreams. I woke up the next morning and I don't know if I was well rested. I needed more coffee that day. I had that little high hangover that you get sometimes. And I was just like, dude, I don't know if this is worth it. I don't know if this is worth it. So, this is a rant today. I don't know why I decided to talk about this and just kind of shooting from the hip today. I just want to let everybody know that if you have an idea, if you're 45 years old or 50 years old and you have an idea and you want to go do something, go do it, dude. Go do it. Here's one thing that I've been thinking about lately is retirement. I'm 45. I don't want to work until I'm dead, but I'm probably going to need to, just because I've financially have made decisions in this world, that have given me flexibility instead of financial freedom. I guess you would say. I don't know if I need to change that. I've been living for the moment a lot of my life, and that's cost me financially long periods of time without any savings or without any type of financial like support background, like, you know, things like that. And so I've been thinking a lot about that too, about, geez, I need to start putting more money into an IRA or having more money or trying to set shit up for retirement. And I don't know why it's like, I don't care about it for some reason. And I know I should. I know I should. I just don't care about it enough. I need to get a life insurance policy for myself so that if something happens to me, my kids are taken care of for a period of time. And so there's that. This was just a shoot from the hip episode today. Go out there, spread the good vibes, my friends, practice shooting your bow. It's turkey season. Go, go get the red dot out, put it on a cart. Like, we always take a cardboard box and we draw a real shitty turkey on it and we take it out to this farm outside of town. We'll shoot the cardboard box a couple times and holy shit, TSS, that shit is expensive. It's absolutely blows my mind how expensive ammo is. And I think it blows my mind because I'm a bow hunter and I don't have very many guns, but like, I know some guys out there who have collections and they shoot regularly and they're like, oh Jesus, you think that's expensive? You know, like I got this AR and I shoot this and this and this. And, I'm just like, dude, you go do you. I'm able to use my arrows more than one time. So, with all that said, everybody, hopefully this was a laid back Friday episode for you guys. Reach out to me. Let me know what your thoughts on this podcast was. Go to the Nine Finger Chronicles Instagram page. Just let me know what your life is like these days. I know a lot of people are struggling financially. I know a lot of people are, whether you're struggling financially or you're struggling with your relationships or with your life or your job, dude, hit me up. I may respond with a little thumbs up or a heart or a very short comment. I can't type out a huge amount, but I just would love to know what your guys' thoughts are about this particular episode and the podcast in general, man. So, thank you very much. Good vibes. Have a good rest of your week. Spring break. Shoot your bow. Party hard. Smoke a cigar. Don't smoke cigarettes. Give your wife and kids a hug, and we'll talk to you next time.